Hello everyone, I'm Saira Beg from Pakistan. I am studying in the northern part of the Pakistan that is known as Gilgit Baltistan. There is only one university known as Karakoram International University, and I am student of Department of Natural Sciences. The work here I am going to present today, that is antibiotic susceptibility of pathogenic bacteria isolated from various drinking water sources of Shikandas village, Gilgit Baltistan, Pakistan, which was the part of 15 years follow-up of the viral diseases, pneumonia, childhood growth, water quality, and latrine microbiology under the project of water sanitation, health and hygiene intervention in northern Pakistan village, which was funded by NIH, National Institute of Health, Bethesda, Maryland, and HAC, that is Higher Education Commission, Pakistan. Our collaboration partners are Karakoram International University, Al Khan University, University of Punjab, Fogarty International Center, National Institute of Health. That's the map of Gilgit Baltistan region. If you give an introduction to Gilgit Baltistan, that is formerly known as Northern Areas, which area is 72.971 kilometers. Population is around about 10 lakh pillars surrounding there, and the main mean of the economic is agriculture sector. Climatic conditions varies according to the zones. Moist zones are the Western Himalayas, and dry zones are Karakoram and Hindu Kush. As you people are all aware of that, Gilgit is actually a region which is of the three main or highest mountain regions, ranges, Himalayas, Karakoram, and Hindu Kush. Water sources are water springs, glaciers, snow deposits, water channels, streams, lakes, rivers, ponds, well, even that depends upon the rain. Again, for the drinking purposes, they get their water from glaciers and snow deposits. Majority of the people are living with the bare infrastructure, so that's why the melted water enters into the streams in the form of the water channels, and they get directly from those streams, and you can say that these are the wet water channels. The supply of the water during the winters is reduced, as you people are aware of the natural process, cause melting of the snow decreases. Glaciers are melting throughout the season, but their melting process reduced in the winters, and which also affects the water quality, means its turbidity somehow increases during the winter seasons. My study area or focus area, that is Oshikandas village, that is located 35 kilometers in the east of our campus, that is Karakoram International University, having a population of 850 houses with 6780 residents. Local mean of economy is agriculture, and the languages here, native languages, are Shina and Burushaski, but to communicate with the tourists, they used to speak Urdu and English. If you look upon the history, that the name of the village derived from the two words Oshi, it means wind, and Shina, it means wind, and Khan, Oshikhan, that means village, it means piece of a land, Oshikandas. That was uncultivated till 1940s, and people came from the Hunza. That is an area where there was a maximum population, where they shifted towards this particular area and cultivated. That's the literature review of Sarah Wilson, which she states that the people came from the Hunza in July 1937 through the water channel, which supplies the water to village even today. Means that use the traditional methods for storage and for getting drinking water purposes. This is our area. which was consisted of particular communities like Turuki, Farpupati, Chilkot, Buljipati, Clifton, Batot, and Jagir. These are the communities where people are settled. And we studied these particular communities in context of water quality. Sources again, glaciers, water channels, filtration plants. Two filtration plants are working here. Again, feed by the water channels, which actually enters into the community. And they extract this water for the storage even in the water pits in the form of the, these are actually the traditional methods to store the pits. I will show the picture in the next slide. This is the water reservoir one. You can see that how it actually looks alike. The process of filtration is not properly done. That's the water treatment plant which was constructed by the government of Gilgit-Baltistan in 1992 and supplied the water to specific communities. And this is the water reservoir too. You can even see the difference of between both. That's constructed by Al-Khan Development Network under the project of Water and Sanitation Extension Program in 2002. Somehow it's compared to the water treatment one, it's supplying a filtered water to the particular community. To do this work was actually assess the safe drinking water that is a health. You can say that it's something which is actually required for sustainability. So in this context, this particular project was launched in the particular community to identify the cause. Diarrheal and pneumonial diseases were very common and the major cause of the morbidity and mortality in the children under the 5 years of the individuals. That every 10 child within a hundreds were dying there just because of this diarrhea or pneumonial diseases. That's why, and this is a large rate of mortality. So particularly this intervention was launched in 1989 till 1996, and this is the fourth phase four which I am presenting here. 165 per thousand lives birth and high in a mean cause of mortality in our area. Health facilities in particular area are not enough. According to, if we see the particular population, its rate is maximum. So according to it, it's only one dispensary over there. Few research workers are present, and now they launched, after launching this project, medical officers and lady health workers. Around about 15 to 20 lady health workers are working along with those research workers and dispensaries. Educational institutions again are limited, so they are the people who are unaware of the health and hygiene practices. They use untreated glacier water from the mountains, even for bathing, washing, and for air pollution. Use the traditional methods for the storage of the drinking water. These are the water pits which they use instead of refrigerators. They don't have refrigerator because we are living in an area where light comes after 3 days. We don't have light till 3 days. We just depend on such, you can say, traditional methods for the storage of our food. This is the milk which they are storing against the fermentation process. These are the traditional sources of the collecting water. You can see here that she is collecting water for drinking purposes. And right here is an animal, how they are. You can guess so that such diseases are very common and water breaks are minimum. Whatever we are expecting, they exceed actually. Again here, this is the traditional methods. Children of, you can say that there is no particular community who is actually getting a pure filtered water. Instead of bathrooms, they have latrine pits. And they used to place such latrine pits in front of, or you can say nearby the water bodies, so they can get the extract water easily. These are the some snakes during the spring season of the agricultural practices. Summers, they are drying the dried fruits for the winters. This is the autumn season, where again they are depending upon the agriculture. And again, autumn season, they are collecting the leaves for their, you can say, kettles. There is no discrimination. Women are working equally by men. So people face the water and environmental health problems just because they are living in a poor sanitation practices. They are actually following open habit of open defecation, lack of hygiene, use of highly contaminated water actually are the reason for water outbreaks. The main aim of this whole study is to find the physical and microbiological quality of drinking water of Washington Das, level of pathogens present in the public health hazard, typically how it's affecting a particular population, and its sensitivity pattern against the 7 antibiotics. To evaluate the performance of already existing experimental water treatment plants to provide a baseline data for planning the future health facilities. The materials and methods I adopted during the study were very common. That I used the random sampling, specific methods of WHO guidelines, which they mentioned. I used the water samples were collected by using the WHO guidelines 1984 in heat sterilized sampling bottles, and the size of the sample was 300. I collect water samples from the main source, water treatment 1, 2, their distribution system. Traditional methods where they used to collect their drinking water in the form of the storage containers, water pits, and water channels. At the time of the collection, it was assured that I collected the, I put the name of the source, time, and date of the collection just to erase the confusion between the samples. Physical parameters were turbidity, temperature, and pH. Microbiological parameters include the fecal coli forms by standard plate count technique. These were the steps. And at the end of identification, which was done by using the biochemical tests, I done the antibiotic sensitivity test against the 7 antibiotics by using the Kirby-Bors test fusion method. At the end of our results, what we found that pH, turbidity, and temperature that lies within the guidelines that were mentioned by WHO, Water Health Organization, but bacteriological parameters were not within the line. I mean, from the source we collected the 40 samples. Out of them, maximum samples having the fecal coli forms which make it impossible. Minimum and the maximum colophon counts are mentioned here. Like from the main source, minimum was zero, though minimum was zero, but maximum colophon were counted were 90. From water reservoir, 30 samples were collected. Minimum colophon count at the SS agar and McConkie agar, we found it's 3, and the maximum were 230. From the water reservoir 1. From the same with the water reservoir 2, we maximum collected 150 coliforms. Same as with the distribution system, water containers, it goes to 200 even, 218 and 180 within the storage channels. So maximum these samples we collected during this whole study were analyzed according to WHO guidelines shows that 14 samples were there which were having a no risk. That were the samples which one can drink. Low risk were of 20, high risk samples were 93, and 21 samples were there which were very, very risky for the drinking purpose. Out of 300 samples, in 284 samples we collected the E. coli. We identified through the biochemical test. So the Pseudomonas aeruginosa was identified within the 195 samples. Salmonella species, though they were not isolated, its strains were not isolated or identified. They were 173, and Proteus vulgaris were 138 among 300 samples. When we done the antibiotic sensitivity test, that E. coli shows the 77.7 sensitivity against the cefixime, followed by ciprofloxacin 91%, lincomycin 48.61, ampicillin 8.33, amoxicillin 16.66, and cefepime 66.66, and tetracycline 29.16%. That's the sensitivity. Same as with the Salmonella species, 85% sensitivity was shown against the cefixime, followed by ciprofloxacin 95%, lincomycin 50%, ampicillin 15%, amoxicillin 25%, safridine 75%, and tetracycline 20%. So, in the through this study, we concluded that improper maintenance of the water units, unhygienic practices that are done at the particular water bodies, mixing of runoffs of the field with the water channels, cross connections between the water mains and the sewers due to the proximity leakage of the water mains, absence of the proper and the new pipeline distribution system, inadequate protection and position relative to the latrine houses, lack of the treatment, inadequate treatment, a breakdown in whole this treatment process, and urbanization, poor nutritional status, poor health facilities, poverty, because these are actually responsible for breakdown of outbreak of waterborne diseases in these particular communities. They can't afford the bottled waters, so one should actually do something in their regard, that they are unable to even choose the home treatment devices. Poor sanitation practices, like as I mentioned, that open defecation, lack of hygiene, use of all traditional methods for the storage of drinking water, and poor infrastructure is increasing this occurrence of waterborne diseases. The evolution, we all know that the evolution of the resistance to particular strain is a natural process when this happens. When strains get resistant to the particular, you can say that a particular disease. But in our area, the maximum people here, they are using medicines by themselves. They are not consulting to particular professionals. So this is actually something which is actually going in a negative way. So the use and the misuse of the antimicrobial drugs accelerating the emergence of the drug-resistant strains. Poor infection control practices, like if you are delaying your the particular time period, or you are not taking your medicines at the time, or inadequate, you can say that the sanitary conditions or inappropriate food handling is also encouraging the further spread of the antimicrobial resistance. So in this regard, what we recommend that long-term and short-term plan should be implemented over there. Short-term solutions should be used to purify the water with the low-grade, inexpensive technologies like staining with the cloth, boiling, use of the chlorine, potash alum tablets, rather than the most sophisticated techniques like electric ultraviolet radiation filters, which actually used here in developed countries. proper chlorination of the water should be assured at the point where that drinking water is distributed, and proper solid waste management system must be evolved in the particular communities. Very old or leaking pipelines need to be replaced. Our interior health authority, educational institutions, different organizations like WhatsApp, mass media should be involved, creating awareness about the importance of water quality among the particular users. Need for the concerned action is antimicrobial resistance is a complex problem driven by many interconnected factors, such as no one individual can control this process. So we have to be gathered to control this. How people can help, like they said, hand washing and avoiding the close contact with the sick people to prevent the transmission of the bacterial infection, getting vaccinated or keeping the vaccines up to the date, using the antimicrobial drugs only when they are required or prescribed by the certified health professionals, completing the full treatment course even if they feel better. Sometimes it happens that they feel better, they just put it off. Never sharing the antimicrobial drugs with others, using leftover prescriptions may somehow reduce this. Or how health workers and pharmacists can help tackle the resistance by enhancing the infection prevention and control in the hospitals and the clinics, like awareness programs, only prescribing and dispensing the antibiotics when they are truly needed, prescribing and dispensing the right antimicrobial drugs to treat the illness. And policymakers, again, if they implement long-term and short-term plans in a particular communities, then it can be improved. This whole process, as I mentioned, that was done by Turkum International, Khan University, Fergerty International Center. So here there are few of my external supervisors, and those who done the mapping and the photography during this whole process. I want to thank them. Thank you.